NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Seven dudes.
Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And today I have a weird story for you.
Weird. I don't like it because I know what it is.
So I'll start with the my sources here. Wikipedia, YouTube. I'll mention the specific YouTube channel when we get there. Ranker, The Lineup, Morbidology, their blog, not the podcast. Find a Case, The Star Tribune, Oxygen's website, The Wrap, and a blog called Here's the Fucking Twist.
Which, that's a cool-ass blog name.
Right?
I like it.
A-plus. A-plus. So, as we get started, the content warning here is going to be graphic depictions, or graphic descriptions, sorry.
Depictions.
of murder and assault, and a very annoying, whiny man that you were going to have to listen to speak. It's whiny. Very annoying. Also, there are 911 calls played in this episode, a lot of them, like... this case is heavily reliant on 911 calls. I wouldn't say, as someone who is typically upset by 911 calls, I don't find them upsetting. They're just annoying because this man's whiny as shit. So, like, that's your warning, I guess. But they're not graphic. No one's screaming or dying in the background. Like, nothing crazy is going on. It's just this very whiny man.
Yeah. Also, the picture of this man is fucking weird.
So gross. He's gross.
I don't like it.
So, I'm going to do a little narrative thing, steal from Naomi, and do that.
I love that the narrative thing is my thing.
So, it's New Year's Eve, 1980.
Okay.
And you're a dispatcher receiving a call.
I already don't like this.
This is not the typical call for police. On the other end, you can hear a man crying and claiming that he's come upon a hurt girl.
Okay.
I'm going to insert the 911 call here. So if you don't want to hear any of the 911 stuff, this is not going to be the episode for you because it starts early and it goes through the end. So let me pull it up for you two to listen to.
Yes, please. This is an emergency. Please send a squad to Pierce Butler Road, Muhlenberg Manufacturing Company Machine Shop. Please, there's an ambulance too. There's a girl hurt there.
Can you tell me what happened to her?
Just hurry, she's laying on the ground in the back by the railroad tracks, by the ATM.
What's the address?
I don't know.
Who are you?
So that is the first 911 call.
You could barely understand him, how whiny he is.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like hysterical in this call. These attacks and calls would terrorize the Midwest town of Minneapolis for 2 years while police tried to find the weepy-voiced killer. In this time, he would attack 5 women, killing 3 of them. Jesus. Yeah, I didn't realize he killed as many people as he did. And the hallmark of all of these is these whiny-ass calls to the police. Like, almost every attack, he calls the police afterward.
They're probably like, it's this bitch again.
Yeah, literally. Paul Stefani was born in 1944. He was one of 10 children born. Yeah.
10.
10 children. Born into a very religious home. Okay. He lived his early life with his mother, stepfather, and siblings, and he self-reported abuse in the home at the hands of his stepfather, claiming that his stepfather would often abuse his mother, who had married his stepfather when Paul was just 3 years old.
Is there any proof of this?
There's no verified proof, but I hesitate to say that because back in the day, they didn't take DV very seriously. So, no. All I could find was, like, self-reported, but I don't think that means that it didn't happen.
Okay. I ask a question because, like, if he was being, like,
just interested in manipulative. Being manipulative and like trying to start shit.
No, it seems like it seems plausible. He also mentioned that if the kids got in his stepdad's way when he was abusing his mother, he would beat them, often so hard that they'd go, quote, flying down the stairs.
Jesus Christ.
So, some crazy shit going on. Not a whole lot is known about his childhood other than this. And even that stuff, it took me a minute to find it. He was from a town, a smaller town, not a small town, but a smaller town known as Austin. Paul made his way to big city Minneapolis in the 1960s after graduating from high school. Okay. At this time, he floated between different jobs, including a janitor and a shipping clerk. He met his wife.
So exactly like the last guy we talked about?
Yeah. He met his wife, Beverly Linder, and they ended up having a daughter together. Yeah. The marriage wouldn't last and would end in divorce eventually, though I'm not sure when exactly. I tried to search divorce records and stuff. I couldn't find it. In 1977, Paul was working for a manufacturing company that he was fired from. I don't know if you all caught this, but in the call, he talks about she's been found behind this specific manufacturing company.
I heard that a little bit.
Mighty convenient.
Yes. In and he was actually fired from that manufacturing company.
Why was he fired?
I didn't find that. Doesn't seem, it just seems like this guy's kind of a loser. Like, he just seems like just like a fumbling dude fumbling through life, you know? Yeah. But in 1980, he'd begin his reign of terror in Minnesota. On New Year's Eve, 1980, Paul murdered his first victim, 20-year-old Karen Patak, a college student at a nearby university who was leaving a party at around 1 a.m. Stefani attacked her near the manufacturing company he had worked for years earlier. Karen was stripped nude and beaten with a tire iron to the point where her brain had been exposed. Stefani placed the call that we listened to earlier at 3 a.m. In the call, obviously, he sounds hysterical. As you'll notice, Stefani didn't provide any identifying information in that call. Luckily, the call did lead first responders to her body, and they were able to provide her with medical care and drive her to a hospital. Despite the brutality of her attack, she lived.
Thank God. Whoa. Holy shit.
However, due to the brain injuries that she had sustained, she didn't remember anything.
Man.
Yeah. So she couldn't really aid in the investigation, but honestly, maybe that's not the best way. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not the worst way, right? Police release a portion of the 911 call that I played for you earlier in hopes that someone could identify the man's voice, because it's a lot.
Luck.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no one did, because how can you hear anything in that call?
Yeah.
The attack remained unsolved for years until Stefani himself confessed to it upon his capture.
Okay.
Stefani would strike again about 6 months later. This time, he would kill the victim. Three teen boys were wandering around a wooded area off of I-35 East when they found the body of 18-year-old Kimberly Compton. Upon finding the body, the boys contact authorities. At the same time, the police were receiving another call. So he actually places, like, two calls in this, with this murder in particular. I'm going to play them both for you back to back.
Okay.
Because it's easier for me.
Okay. Oh, you find me. I just stabbed somebody with an ice pick. I can't stop myself. I keep killing somebody without...
Don't talk, just listen. I'm sorry what I did to Compton. I couldn't help it. Don't know why I had to stab her. I am so upset about it. I keep getting drunk every night. I can't believe it. It's like a big dream. I can't think of being locked up. If I get locked up, I'll kill myself.
I'd rather kill myself to get locked up. I'll try not to kill anybody else.
Can you imagine being the 911 operator in that second one?
Yeah.
It's fucking frustrating, or honestly.
Like, any of these 911 operators, like, all of a sudden somebody calls you and they're like, I killed somebody. That's not the fucking call you're waiting for.
No.
You're expecting someone to be like, I got hurt. Whatever. It's not like I fucking killed somebody and I'm crying about it.
Right.
It doesn't sound sincere to me. Like, it sounds super theatrical and weird.
Yes.
And, like, almost mocking.
Manipulative, the way he's talking.
Yeah.
It would piss me off as the 911 caller, just like,
yeah.
Grasp on to this.
Yeah. Like, you notice him saying, like, I can't go to jail. I'll kill myself.
Yeah. I'd rather kill myself.
Yeah.
He mentions Kimberly
Compton, this victim.
The first one. And yeah. Yeah. So. Obviously killing these girls.
But yeah, the 911 calls seem very manipulative, and I agree with that, because it sounds like he's faking this hysteria.
Attention seeking.
Yes. And like, I don't know, like the whole I'm so sorry. Like, no, you're not, because you murdered someone, and if you were sorry, you'd turn yourself in.
Mm-hmm. Why are you calling 911 if you were like,
the fucking fact that he's like, I promise I won't do it again. I'm so sorry.
He does it again. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
It's like childish. Yes. Manipulative. And it's like, that doesn't make sense.
And that second call I had y'all listen to actually took place 8 days after she was murdered. So he called them again.
Okay.
That first call was at the time they were finding the body. Second call was 8 days later.
Like, monitoring this whole situation.
It seems like it.
Fucking edgelord. Okay.
Police were able to trace this call. It was traced back to a payphone in a bar.
Yeah, of course.
I was gonna guess that.
Can you imagine, you're sitting at this bar, now the like in the corner you hear this guy just like doing this sniffly shit, and you're sitting there at a bar like being like, dude, what the fuck's going on over there?
And then the police bust in and you're like, oh shit, I witnessed some shit.
He's the type of guy that would like seem totally normal too. I bet you he has multiple faces and then like is a weirdo.
Weirdo.
He looks like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. When police arrived to this location, Stefani was already gone.
Of course.
When the police arrived to the scene of the crime, they're shocked by what they find. Kimberly had been brutally attacked, sustaining 61 wounds to the chest.
Holy shit.
And what were these wounds from? An ice pick. She had also been strangled with a shoelace that was found around her neck.
What the fuck?
So, like, overkill as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I have so many questions. Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is so brutal right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking tire iron and this. Very, very brutal.
Yeah, and especially for, like, first attacks. Sense. Yeah.
That's what's so strange about it. Like, something tells me that he's not fully in control of his actions or something. Like, he is imagining stuff or...
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I don't like that.
Yeah. They kind of talk about it later as, like, possibly a delusion. And possibly this man is suffering from some kind of psychosis.
Do you feel like that?
Evading arrest.
No.
Okay. Yeah,
no, I think it's fake.
Evading arrest.
Yeah, I think it's fake.
He's being a little attention seeker, though.
Right.
So weird.
It's a super strange crime, because, like, why would you call the police? And he called numerous times, too. Like, as I'm looking through this, I played you 2 of 4 calls that he actually placed to the police about this murder specifically. One in which he corrected some of the stuff that the media had gotten wrong.
Of course, because that's exactly what they all do when they're fucking high and mighty, the fucking Zodiac killer.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's that. You know, and you heard all the calls there. It appears that he wasn't that apologetic, though, as he would strike again more than a year later.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe
there was some remorse?
This whole murder is really interesting, because he doesn't call the cops, and it's totally outside of his norm of attack.
The motives are scattered.
So they do think that this is, like, his...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he confessed to it, and I believe that he did it. It's just such a weird one-off. okay. of a situation. On July 21st, 1982, a friend found 33-year-old Kathleen Greening dead in her bathtub. Upon further investigation, it was discovered that Kathleen had been drowned in her own bathtub.
Okay, very different already.
Yeah, like entered someone's home, which is interesting.
And didn't like choke them or stab them.
Mm-mm.
There's no other wounds to the body?
Nope. Weird. She was drowned in a bathtub and then like her head was stuffed essentially under the faucet. So she was facing like that way, if that makes sense. Weird. Due to the less brutal nature of the crime, like Naomi brought up, and the fact that Stefani didn't make any calls after this murder, it was not attributed to him at all, and they actually wrote it off as an accidental drowning.
Huh. Oh, okay.
You can't really accidentally drown on your own.
Right.
I mean, you can fall asleep in a bathtub and, like, go under the water and, like, inhale water. And, like, I guess some people drown like that. But for me, it's the positioning of her body with her head underneath the tap. People don't take a bath like that.
Right. She right. was, like, stuffed under there.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe if they thought, like, she fell in and, like, knocked herself out, maybe. But, like, that is weird.
Yeah.
No other injuries, yeah.
Yeah, super weird. And, like, this was, like, her best friend who found her. Like,
aww, man.
Walked into her house and found her best friend
dead.
I'd
be fucking sad if I found either of you dead.
I'd be fucking freaking out, dude. Like, what?
The trauma would be forever.
Like I said, police listed this death as an accidental drowning, and they actually didn't suspect any foul play to be involved until Stefani confessed to the murder later. So he could have gotten away with more of this than he actually did. He ended up confessing to a lot of it.
Okay.
Less than a month later, on August 5th, 1982, Stefani went out to a local bar called The Hexagon. Once
Hexagon.
There, right? Like, what?
I like it.
It's a weird bar name. Once there, Stefani met Barbara Simmons. Simmons? Simons?
Simmons.
Might be Simons. Can't read. When she offered him a cigarette. The two hit it off and planned on leaving together that night because he had offered her a ride home. Simmons even mentioned to a waitress, quote, "He's cute. I hope he's nice since he's giving me a ride home," end quote.
Oh, man.
The next morning, Barbara's body was found on the bank of the Mississippi River. She had been stabbed over 100 times with either an ice pick or a screwdriver.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Brutal escalation, like even in number.
Jesus Christ.
Which is weird for how calm his last murder was.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
Did his last victim at least fit his normal MO?
I mean, his MO was just kind of women.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't really have, like, an age type. Like, he kind of floated across, like, younger women and also some older women in their 30s, I feel like, is the extent. So, it's interesting because he doesn't have a specific range, you know? Police went back to the Hexagon in order to get a description of the man that Barbara left with. And Stefani called the police.
Fire emergency.
Please don't talk to me, listen. I'm sorry I killed that girl. I stabbed her 40 times. Kimberly Compton was the first one. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm sick. I'm going to kill myself, I think.
Where are you?
I'm just going to... If somebody dies with a red shirt on, it's me. I killed both of you. I'm sorry. I'll never make it to heaven.
Calm down. Calm down.
Why he's only targeting women.
That's a good question because there's not enough. I feel like we don't have enough information on him.
Yeah. Because I'm wondering if it's an overall misogyny thing or if it's a somehow tied back to his childhood with that abuse call. If like maybe because some people grow up to resent the person who's being abused,
yeah.
especially if it's like a family dynamic.
Yeah.
Either because they don't understand the whole situation or they feel like they were not protected.
The sex worker thing comes up in here too. So anytime that comes up, I kind of get the feeling that it's misogyny. Like straight up, you just hate women. And like, it's very unoriginal. It's very cliche. While searching for the man, they actually get a huge break in their case that leads to his capture. So on August 21st, Stefani stopped Denise Williams, a 19-year-old sex worker, and offered her $100 to, quote, have some fun. Denise got in the car, but once Stefani began driving down a dead-end street, Denise knew she was in danger. Mm-hmm. Stefani attacked Denise Williams, stabbing her 15 times with a screwdriver. Denise, total badass, grabbed a glass bottle from the floor of the vehicle, broke it, and began beating the shit out of this guy with
Good.
It.
Good. Fuck him up.
Whoa.
To the point where they're, like, out of the car, like, fighting in this neighborhood, essentially.
Jesus.
The commotion attracted the attention of a neighbor, obviously, who came to the car to confront Stefani, and he attacked him. He, like, started attacking this man who had seen this stuff. So the neighbor actually ran back to his house and called the cops. And once Stefani left, because he fled, he went outside and went to help Denise Williams, who, like I said, had been stabbed 15 fucking times.
Does she live?
She does live.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Shit.
What a badass.
Right?
Whoa.
Right? With the
Being
thought.
Being aware of your surroundings.
Right. To pick that up and beat him up. Good for you, girl. In return, obviously, he sped off. Stefani sped off in his car.
He's a little bitch.
Exactly. Denise survived the 15 stab wounds that Stefani had created. And like a fucking idiot, he realized that he had been injured pretty badly from that glass bottle upside his head. And he called for medical attention from his apartment. And first responders recognized his voice. So they brought him in for questioning.
God.
Thanks.
Whoa.
This man's a fucking idiot. Like, it seems like you want to get caught. Why are you calling the cops?
Yeah, at least this is the few times that the police actually did something and were, like, quick on the uptake.
The shitty part, when we get to the trial, too, I'll talk about it. Because Denise was a sex worker, her word was unreliable. Or seen as unreliable. She also had a warrant out for her arrest, so she lied about her name. And obviously, because sex work is illegal, she lied about why she was there, which almost fucked up the entire trial. Which, again, not her fault. In my opinion, that's not her fault. Like,
it's not.
People get pushed to sex work for a variety of reasons.
Survival sex work.
Discredit.
Literally. And that's, I mean, it's not uncommon, which is so annoying.
Like, it's a woman? And also, they do sex work? Evil.
Yeah. When police discussed with Denise, her story was different than the actual story due to fear of being arrested for sex work or the warrant she had on her record. She told police she was hitchhiking and Stefani had attacked her after she rejected his advances. This would come out in the trial, and Denise actually ended up needing serious medical attention as her lung and liver had been punctured.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, like, she was struggling for air while trying to fight that man.
Oh.
But like a badass.
She fucking lived.
Fucking.
And she testified.
Hormones are a crazy ass thing.
Yeah, fucking adrenaline.
Adrenaline's crazy.
Fight or flight instinct.
Yeah. Unreal.
Shock is also fucking crazy.
You fucked with the wrong woman.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. You fucked with the wrong one, my guy.
All the wrong one, but
specifically this one.
Mm-hmm.
Take no shit.
Stefani was arrested for second degree assault for the attack on the neighbor, attempted murder on Denise Williams, and then Stefani was also charged for the murder of Barbara Simons. Throughout the trial, attempts were made to solidly collect Stefani to his other crimes, including having his ex-wife, his sister, and roommate testify that the voice on the calls belonged to him. Huh. However, this testimony was not enough to convict Stefani for the attack of Carol Patak, and the murders of Kathleen Greening and Kimberly Compton. Hmm. Stefani was convicted of the second degree assault, the attempted murder, and murder, and was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Stefani appealed his sentence in 1985, claiming that he was denied a fair trial. Clearly, this appeal was denied.
How?
Every trial did.
Yeah. Exactly. Just by having those people testify and, like, you contacted my family. It's like, yeah, bro, you're a fucking criminal. Yeah. That's how it works. After the conviction, he spoke to reporters and told him that he had murdered these women because voices in his head told him to.
Oh.
Okay. The voice would say to him, quote, Paul, it's time to kill, end quote, and he would succumb to this voice.
Oh, okay. So just like a gentle little voice being like, hey, buddy, you think it's time to kill yet? Like, fucking pleb.
Okay. It gets a little darker. He mentioned that when he killed Greenling, he thought of it as a game. He mentioned being happy while murdering her, but would have moments of clarity as he realized she was dying. So he would, like, push her head down to drown her and then pop her back up when he knew she was dying. So he kind of played with her life.
Oh.
This clarity didn't save Kathleen's life, and in his confession, Stefani claimed he remembered nothing about the woman he had killed in her own bathtub, except that he had drowned her in a bathtub. So it took them a while to identify her because he couldn't remember anything about her. And super fucked up, dude. You took this person's life and you can't remember a single thing about it?
Well, it's reminding me of that one guy, the one that, like, stopped that woman and called the... She convinced him that, like... Do you remember? You covered this. And he was, like, wild. He shot her passenger driver and, like, pulled her out of the car, and she was convincing him that, like, no, oh, you're actually helping me out.
Yeah.
That's what this is reminding me of a little bit.
Yeah. It's super fucking weird. It's like he has no memory for some of this, but then I'm like, are you faking that or is that true?
Yeah. Well, and like, if his mental illness was this severe, it would show up in other aspects of his life. So, like, did anyone else notice him acting weird?
There's not a lot of information about him aside from the murders.
Because, like, this amount of mental illness, like, shows up in every aspect of your life. So it's like, if you see somebody in your life acting a little bit weird, like, pay attention to them.
Well, and I have to wonder, too, because he was chronically unemployed or underemployed. Yeah. Like, maybe that's a big sign of mental health problems.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a particularly a big sign when we talk about the escalation of violence and domestic abuse. So yeah. I wouldn't say it's too far off to say that that can escalate to abuse that's not in the home, to yeah. violence that's not in the home.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And especially with how linked domestic violence and mass murder is.
Whoa.
Which there's a huge correlation between the two. And if you don't know anything about it, I highly recommend you check it out. But yeah, it's just an interesting thing because it makes me wonder what was going on at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like for his wife and child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like, I was wondering if there was any like other reports from the family. Yeah. That's not something you just kind of fucking not see.
Right.
It kind of,
especially if you're married and have a child with that person.
It kind of seems like she didn't know what was going on. Whoa. Like similar to like BTK's wife had no idea.
Weird.
Well, they're
yeah,
really good at it.
Otherwise, like,
yeah.
Unless he's like truly making this all up and she's like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Right. Which. It's a mind fuck. This is a mind fuck of a case.
Like it's fucked up, but like,
yeah, it's like, is this person okay? I mean, obviously not, but
should they have been receiving services?
Well, and that's the other thing too, though, because we had killers like Son of Sam back in the day who straight up lied about his dog telling him to murder people. Like that was a lie, so he could get the insanity defense.
The motive on that too, like, was literally, but he when you talk to him. Even past that honesty, he's still, it's, the motive is unidentified almost. Like, it's so sporadic, and they're bored.
Yeah. They look exactly the same, too, which is super fucking really? Weird. Yeah, they look very similar.
Like, fucking Heidnik, like, he was smart enough to manipulate that and act like he was crazy, and they made him look crazy, and then there's people like Manson. Like, maybe they really are just kind of making that shit up. But this is one where I really can't tell.
I don't know, yeah. In 1997, Stefani was diagnosed with skin cancer, and he was given just a year or less to live. This revelation prompted him to confess to all other attacks and murders in exchange for a photo of his dead mother's gravesite.
What the fuck?
He would only confess if investigators got him a picture of his dead mother's gravesite, particularly her tombstone.
What the fuck?
And, like, nothing's ever brought up about his family other than the abuse from the stepfather. He stated that, quote, I'd rather go to my grave knowing this is all taken care of and off my chest. To this day, I can't believe it. I wake up in the morning thinking and hoping I'm dreaming all of this. I don't know what to say, except I wish I could turn back the clock, end quote.
That's not what a mentally ill person says.
Right, right. You have remorse, so that's interesting. But, like, for what? And it seems like he has remorse throughout the entire thing, but it seems fake. Like, you're... It's fake. Yeah.
It could all literally be attention-seeking.
Or is this person literally overwhelmed by emotions after they murder someone? And then these are real... This is real hysteria. I don't know.
I don't...
I don't know. I leave you with this. Stefani would...
Can't fucking make a phone call.
Hell no, me neither. I can't make a phone call normally. I have anxiety.
Yeah.
Can't call anybody.
I don't think I could fucking tell the cops a whole, like, thing that I killed this person without breaking down on the phone, so I don't know if that's real.
Right.
Mm.
It's a weird question.
Sorry, like
a
anyway.
Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing.
Which is a good point. That's entirely possible, too.
He just snaps out of it right after.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is one of the few times where someone, like, actually blacks out, murders someone, and then doesn't realize what they did.
He doesn't remember anything from the other one, which he would, I think.
Does he?
Or would like to tell them.
Right.
Does he claim to black out on the other ones, too?
No.
Nope, just that one is the one where he says he was essentially playing a game with her life, and he didn't remember anything about her except that he had killed her. He knew he had killed her, but he couldn't remember anything else.
I have so many questions.
Yes.
There's just so much to be worried about.
Yeah.
There's just so much to be worried
about. I have so many questions, and none of them are getting answered.
They won't either. I will not answer them because I don't have the answers.
Disappointment!
I leave you with this. Stefani would die a year later in prison from his cancer. Some of his final words included, quote, "All I have to say is I'm sick and I'm sorry, if sorry means anything after 15 years.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
People.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, yeah. What do you think? Fucking weird?
It's got me perplexed, for sure. It makes me a little angry.
Yeah. It's strange. And I don't know what to think about it either, which is why I thought it was so interesting. Because, like Naomi said, I don't know if you said this on air earlier, but there was, like, top 5 mysterious creepy 911 calls.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
always on those lists, which
just
is how
it's
I found
so
it.
Gross sounding.
Yeah, he sounds. I don't like it. That's what I have for you with the weepy voiced killer. If you want to see pictures of this weird asshole, go check out our Instagram. Not a boogeyman.
Give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That'd be fucking chill.
Preferably 5 stars.
Yeah.
And then go check out our Patreon. We're going to have some more fun stuff coming for you guys soon. I know Les and I are working on a case that's going to be coming for you in the next couple months. It's a lot of work, and we'll probably do some Patreon shit around it too, because it's just simply too large.
Much. Yeah. Next week I got an occult case for you.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited.
So.
Yes.
Come back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.